Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord had made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about the child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had told them. May the Lord add His blessing upon the reading of His word. You may now be seated.
Let's praise God for this amazing Christmas day. And let us thank the choir. You know, choir, we want to thank you for all your practice, all the music. Did you enjoy the choir, the prompters? Nice singing. Well, let me first of all greet all of you. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, okay? You know, can you do me a favor? Can you turn to your neighbor and look at them in the eyes and say, "Welcome and Merry Christmas." Yeah. If you are our guest, we have a special room for you. We welcome you. You need counseling, you need prayer. Go to that room where I'm pointing. How do you celebrate Christmas? Depends on what to you is Christmas. What is Christmas to you? Can you whisper to your friend? You know, I notice it's one thing to say something, it's another thing to really understand what is Christmas. I was watching a TV show, it's Fox News, and they were showing how another TV host has declared war on Christmas. I was surprised. I said, "How do you declare war on Christmas? Do you know some people are willing to declare war on Christmas?" Let me tell you, when you do something again and again, it becomes a tradition. Pretty soon you lose the meaning. It becomes a ritual. For example, this guy, he does not want the word Merry Christmas. That's why we are using Happy Holidays. They don't want the word Christmas tree. So how do you call Christmas tree? Holiday tree. They don't want nativity scene. You cannot link Christmas with the birth of Jesus. Isn't that crazy? How can you go to a birthday party and say, "We will celebrate your birthday, but we won't talk about you. We won't focus upon you"? It's crazy. Can I tell you something about Christmas? It is God's way to remind the whole world about His message. So may I suggest, when you celebrate Christmas, be careful of overeating, overshopping. You know, some people are tired because they are so stressed out. May I suggest you focus on the real meaning of Christmas. What is Christmas? This is our simple definition. You will probably not find this in the Google, but I want to patent this, okay? Let's read this together. Everybody, what is Christmas? It's the greatest news about the greatest person who solved the greatest problem to give us the greatest future. Let me explain to you. Turn to Luke chapter 2, the one that we just read. Let me explain to you. The greatest news. Why is it the greatest news? Let's find out. Luke chapter 2, let's begin verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. The first public announcement of the message of Christmas was given in Luke chapter 2. It was given to shepherds. Now let me ask you, why shepherds? Why not kings? Why not powerful politicians? Why shepherds? Some of you may not understand the significance of this, but let me explain to you. Shepherds are one of the lowest rank in society in the time of Jesus. They consider them uneducated, untrained. In the Old Testament, once upon a time, shepherd is a respected occupation. David was a shepherd. But years later, being a shepherd is no longer respectable. Do you realize in the time of Jesus, shepherds were not allowed to appear as witness in the court? They are considered untrustworthy. If somebody was going to make up a story about Christmas, this is the wrong place to begin. Why will you say an announcement was made to shepherds? Unless, look, one of the most faithful, best first-class historians wrote the truth. Notice, it was delivered by God through an angel. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. The glory of the Lord was first seen in the Old Testament. When the tabernacle of God was erected, the Bible tells us the Shekinah glory, the glory of God, was manifest. In the Old Testament, when you see the presence of God, you see His glory. It is such that people are afraid to enter the tabernacle. The glory of God slowly moved away from Israel. In the book of Ezekiel, the Bible tells us the glory of God slowly but surely left the temple. Eventually, it left the country of Israel. Why? Because the people stopped worshiping God. They got into idolatry. Their private lives were full of disobedience. So the glory of God left Israel. But can I tell you something? The first time the glory of God appeared again in the New Testament, Luke chapter 2, right here. The glory of the Lord appeared again. Now, when you experience the presence of God, in my study of the Scripture and personal experience, it is one of worship. The Bible tells us they became afraid. It's awesome in the presence of God. You see this in Isaiah. You see this in Joshua. When you are in the presence of God, you begin to see how great He is, and you begin to see how sinful you are. We are creatures in the presence of the Creator. So most of us, we need to come to know God more intimately. Many people don't take worship seriously. You have not experienced God in your life. We need to grow in this area. Notice, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." You see, it's good news. "For I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people." Now, let me tell you, is good news always bring, does it always bring joy? Yes or no? Not always. Let me give you an example. Is getting married good news? Yes or no? That's good news, right? Now, I want you to imagine now. Your best friend is telling you, "I'm getting married." And your best friend tells you, "Do you know who I'm getting married to?" And then she mentions your boyfriend. Problema yan. Good news is not good news to everybody. If you get a salary increase, if you get a promotion, is that good news? Does it bring great joy to everybody? Depends. Because you may feel like, "I should have been the one promoted. I was not promoted." In other words, good news. Great joy for what? All people. Now, this is amazing. God is telling us today, and He's telling you, "I bring you what? Good news." It will bring what? Great joy. For who? For all. And He gave the good news to the shepherds. Because the shepherds are considered ceremonially unclean. They are not allowed to enter the temple. Very sad. Because they violate the Ten Commandments. Especially commandment number 4. "Thou shalt keep the Sabbath." The shepherds cannot keep the Sabbath. They are on duty 24/7. So these people have no chance to ever experience being in the presence of God. But God is amazing. God is saying, I love all of you. So the first message given is to shepherds. It's the greatest news given to all kinds of people. Now, what is this good news? Everybody, read verse 11. Please read. Today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. What is the good news? The greatest news about the greatest person. Three titles for Jesus. Title number one, Savior. Title number two, Christ. The word Christ is from the Hebrew word Messiah. Anointed one. The one and only anointed Messiah. Christ. That's the word for Christ. And then the word Lord is the official title, name of the Lord. Yahweh. When you translate the Old Testament to the New Testament, this is it. Capital L-O-R-D. Referring to the Lord. The greatest person. And then, continue reading. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. You know, most babies are wrapped in clothes. But how many babies are born in a manger? I don't care how poor you are. Poor people don't deliver babies in a manger. Jesus came to give you a message. He loves us. Continue reading. And suddenly, this is what's amazing. Suddenly, there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. At first, it was one angel. The angel appeared, gave the message. And then the Bible says, suddenly. Now, you look at the language. Suddenly, what happened? There appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. The word heavenly host is from the word army. In the original language, host refers to an army. This numbers is so great that you cannot count. It's a multitude. What kind of army? Heavenly army. What a sight that would have been. If you were the shepherd, you'd be amazed. Suddenly, all around you, the heavenly armies of the living God. My friends, you and I are not alone. God is real. The greatest news delivered by super beings for you and for me. Do you understand how you should respond to Christmas? Do you know? If you understand the meaning of Christmas, let's review one more time. What is Christmas? The greatest news about the greatest person who solved the greatest problem to give us the greatest future. Because of Christmas, everybody, say that with me. Be joyful. Be full of joy because this is good news. Can you turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, be joyful. Do you understand in the Bible, one of the marks of a true Christian, one of the marks of a true Christian is joy. Let me show you from the Bible. John 15:11. Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy, the joy of God, the joy of Jesus may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. God wants us to be joyful. Now, what enters your mind when you think of God? That is the most important thing. A.W. Tozer once said, the most important thing about you is what you believe to be true about God in your heart. What do I mean? If you think God does not like you, if you think God is not for us, why will you follow Him? Why will you serve Him? What do you think about God is most important? The Christmas message tells me God cares for us. He's giving us good news. Look at what the Bible tells us. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. You know, the Bible is very maculate. What is maculate in English? Maculate. It's called very repetitive. It's like some housewives, you know. Very maculate. Just some, not all. Some of you are not, okay? But you keep repeating and repeating. The Bible repeats. Rejoice in the Lord always. The challenge is the word always. Now, this was written when the Apostle Paul was in prison. So, my point is this. Joy and your circumstances are not connected. You can be joyful in the midst of problem. Really? What's my proof? Okay, tell me, what's the difference between joy and happiness? What's the difference? Joy and happiness. Number one, spelling. I know that. Number two, happiness, from the word happening. If happenings are good, I'm happy. If happenings are not good, I'm not happy. Some of you don't understand joy, you understand happiness. And that's why you're not joyful. Because when things are good, you're happy. When things are not good, you're sad. No, no, no. Christians, we are different. The Bible tells us the secret of joy. Everybody read this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Notice, that's the evidence of the Spirit in your life. The evidence of a true Christian, I submit to you, is the ability to be supernaturally joyful in all circumstances. In all circumstances. Look at Acts 13:52. Let's read this together. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Notice, in the book of Acts, Christians are not called Christians. Christians are not called believers. They are called disciples. Filled with joy. Can you turn to your neighbor? Tell your neighbor, be joyful. Yeah, be joyful. Now, when you say that, will you please smile? Be joyful. No, no. Be joyful. Okay, be joyful. Now, does it mean Christians will not have problems? No. Let me show you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Notice, in the midst of tribulation, trials, persecution, you can have what? Joy. The mark of a true Christian is joy. If you are not joyful, perhaps you need to review. You need to review what it means to be a believer of Jesus. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2. That in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. Notice the contrast. In what? Great ordeal of affliction. What do you have? Abundance of joy. The mark of a true Christian. If you ask me, there are many. Romans chapter 14 tells us, the kingdom of God is not about eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Christians are supposed to be uniquely different, marked by joy. I love this quote. A person filled with joy preaches without preaching. Do you know why many people don't like Jesus? Not because of Jesus, but because of Christians. We have not been good examples of Jesus. To be a follower of Jesus, you must reflect the joy of the Lord. Have you heard of Oliver Wendell Holmes? One of the great Supreme Court justices of America. In fact, somebody said he's probably the greatest, next to Justice John Marshall. Well, this is what he said. I might have entered the ministry if certain clergymen I knew had not looked and acted as much like undertakers. You know what he's talking about? Many of us Christians, we act like always attending a funeral service. Yeah. Can you turn to your neighbor? Tell your neighbor, be joyful. The truth is this. Will there be sadness? Yes. Okay to be sad? You need to process. I have been to many funeral services. Just this week alone, my daughter had to cut short her vacation. She had to go to a funeral service. The husband of her friend, very close friend, suddenly had a heart attack. Young man, 3 kids. We were all sad. At the same time, If you are in Christ, you can have joy. But you see, this is supernatural. How is that possible? I'm going to share with you. How do you have real joy? You got to know the greatest person. What is Christmas? It's the greatest news about the greatest person. Let's read this together now. Luke 2:11. Today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Who is this Savior? Let me ask you a question. What makes Jesus so unique? What are the great religions of the world? Tell me, the great religions of the world. Buddhism, Muslim, Hinduism, atheism, it's a religion, and biblical Christianity. What is so unique about biblical Christianity versus all the other religions? I submit to you, this is the uniqueness. You got to know why you believe what you believe. It's about the founder. It's about Jesus. Let me share with you. Everything about Jesus is unique. His birth, his life, his death, resurrection. You know why? There is no comparison. If you think Christianity is just like any other religion, if you think Jesus is just like any other religious founder, you are mistaken, my friend. You need to know what the Bible has to say. Let me share with you the uniqueness about Jesus. Why he is the greatest. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, meaning engaged, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. He planned to divorce her. Now listen to me. If your fiancé, gentlemen, you're about to be married, okay? And your girlfriend tells you, I really don't know. I am pregnant. And then you ask your girlfriend, how did you become pregnant? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? How can you be pregnant? If you want to invent a religion, if you want to invent a new leader, you will not make this kind of stories. Nobody will believe you. Unless it can be proven and it is true. Everything about Jesus is unique. Joseph wanted to divorce her. And then the Bible tells us, when he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Because Mary could not convince Joseph. He was going to divorce her. The family wanted to divorce Mary. Everything about Jesus is supernatural. She will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. Remember, there was no... what do you do when you are pregnant? What machine? What is that machine? Ultrasound. In the time of Jesus, there was no ultrasound. Comprende? Oh, how do you know it's a boy? You take these things for granted. Everything about the story of Jesus is supernatural. Either it's a fairy tale or it is true. Let's read. You shall call his name Jesus, meaning Savior, Yeshua, from the Greek word Joshua. Yeshua means Savior. You shall call him Savior, Jesus. He will save his people from their sin. Now, all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Do you understand? The Bible tells us, someday the Messiah will come. The anointed one of God, the Son of God will come. But in order that you will know who is the Messiah, I will give you markers. I will give you signs. It's like DNA. How do I know you are my son? There are DNAs to prove this. Am I correct? The same thing with Savior. How do you know you are the Messiah? What about this religion? What about that religion? How do you prove this? The Bible tells us. I will tell you before it happens. You see, there is no other religion. There is no other sacred writings that has such prophecy. Everybody can claim to be a savior. Understand? You can claim to be the Messiah. Oh, what's your proof? What are the signs? The Bible is very clear. Just to save time. He must be from the descendant of Abraham. Because that was prophesied in Genesis. As early as the book of Genesis, God already said, the seed of a woman, and then in particular, the descendant of Abraham, in particular, he must be of royalty. He must be from the descendant of David. What's the good news? You will know who. What's the bad news? The Filipinos, you cannot be the Messiah. The Chinese cannot be the Messiah. The Japanese cannot be. The Caucasians cannot be. He tells you the marker. One of the markers is this, born of a virgin. How many of you are born of a virgin? Sorry, you are disqualified. Because the Bible tells us, Isaiah chapter 7, written 700 years before Christ was born. Translated into the Greek language 300 BC. But this was written 700 years before Christ. The Bible says, therefore, everybody please read, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin will be with child and bear a son. She will call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. You know, the Bible is very precise. You got to know why you believe what you believe. You know, many people don't know why they believe. You know why you believe for most of us? Because of your parents. You adopted the religion because of your parents. Some of you because of your school. Well, I came from this school. But you have never bothered to ask yourself why you believe what you believe. The Bible tells us, you see, I was not born in a Christian family. But then I was sent to a religious school. That's the history of my faith. And then I began to see conflicts between what the Bible says and the practices. Then I began to study the Bible. What about you? Why do you believe what you believe? God tells them the Messiah will have to be born in Bethlehem. Is that in the Bible? I show you. Old Testament, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Please read this. As for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Jesus did not begin 2,000 years ago. He was born in the flesh 2,000 years ago. But before 2,000 years ago, there was Jesus. The Bible says, his goings are from long ago, his origin from eternity past. And that's why you begin to understand the Bible. When Jesus said, before Abraham was born, I am. You begin to understand when Jesus said, I created everything. You begin to connect. The greatest news about the greatest person. There was a problem. The problem is this. Mary and Joseph were from Galilee. They live in Galilee. Bethlehem, those of you who went with me to the Holy Land, Bethlehem is 70 miles south of Galilee. But the Messiah has to be born in Bethlehem. So, how can Jesus be born in Bethlehem when Mary was pregnant and he was in Galilee? You see, you begin to see in the lives of God's people, there are no accidents. There are only incidents. Let me share with you how. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinus was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Why? Because he was of the house and family of David. In order to register along with Mary, who was engaged with him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes, laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, it looks like it's an accident. It is not an accident. Let me ask you a question. If the decree of Caesar came earlier, where would Jesus be born? Came earlier. You know what they would have done? They would have registered. By the way, how did they go to Judea? 70 miles. Did they take a Mercedes-Benz with aircon? No, no. There was no Mercedes-Benz at that time. So what did they take? You see, the Bible does not tell you. We don't know either it's a donkey or a camel or a Cadillac. Cadillac. We don't know. But they went there. And then they would have registered and then they go back home. You want to give birth where you live. Am I correct? But the decree came at the precise time. The decree came. If the decree came too late, where would Jesus be born? Galilee. Too late. So the baby is born, and then the decree came, oh, let's go and register. But the decree came at the precise time. What does that tell you? God can use pagan king, pagan emperor to accomplish his purpose. What's my point? There are no accidents in the lives of God's people. God is for you. He's in control. But you've got to learn to trust him. The good news is initiated by God, orchestrated by God, planned by God, implemented by God. You know why? He loves us. To solve the greatest problem. Now, look at me. What's our greatest problem? People used to say, the greatest problem of humanity is education. Give them education. I submit to you. It's not our biggest problem. What's my proof? Very simple. In the developed world, in the most educated parts of the earth, the advanced country, they're educated, yes or no? We have the highest suicide rate. How can you imagine the most educated people, especially in the time of the Second World War, the Germans, lots of PhDs, lots of doctors, how in the world did they concocted a killing machine, the gas chamber, to annihilate 6 million Jews? These are all educated people. So education is not the answer. What about money? People say the problem of the world is poverty. Give them money. If money is our problem, God will send us an economist. You agree? Now, let me prove to you, money is not the root problem. How many of you know of rich people who are not happy? If money is the problem, then all rich people should be happy. But the truth is, many rich people are unhappy. In the societies of the advanced countries where they are rich, their living standards are higher, they take drugs, divorces, a lot of unhappiness. Friends, that is not the root problem. What about technology? Some people say technology is the problem. Can I tell you something? I just heard from the news that technology, while it is very good, can be our worst nightmare. Do you know that the average elementary kids have access to information that 40 years ago is not access, you don't have access with those with PhD degrees, you don't even know those information? Do you know with the advent of technology, people can learn to make a nuclear bomb? Do you know that one of the worst nightmares that they are predicting is the advent of biological warfare? And the Bible talks about it. Pestilence. Why? Because the information is available in the internet. Technology, I submit to you, is not the answer to our problem. You got to know what's the root problem. The Bible tells us the root problem. Let's read this together, everybody. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Be honest with me, okay? You got to raise your hands, okay? Raise your hands, huh? You got to be honest. I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you have ever lied at least once in your life? Raise your hand. Show them the video. Okay, those who are not raising your hand, I want to feature you. Okay. You are like the first service and the second service. Pretty honest. Question number two. How many of you have taken things that is not yours? Remember when you were a kid, you got things that's not yours? Purposely or not purposely, you have gotten things that is not yours. At least once. Raise your hand. You mean we are the same? You have just told me, this morning, this afternoon, you have just told me, you have confessed that number one, you are a liar, and number two, you are a thief. That's what you have just told me. How many times do you have to lie to be a liar? Louder. How many times do you have to steal to be called a thief? Once. You see, our problem is the heart. My friend just came from a Middle East country. I don't want to tell you because this is BIM worldwide. In that Middle East country, the women have to put on garbs, okay? And the only thing they will show you many times is the eyes, okay? So I said, is that country a moral country? Because when you go to McDonald's, there's a separation. Men, women, a section for family. When you are driving a car and you have the opposite sex beside you, and you are stopped by the police, and you don't have a marriage certificate, they will accuse the woman of being a prostitute. So I said, is that country very moral? He said, Peter, near that country is another country. When you drive over, you can do anything you want. People will drink, they will party, all kinds of foolish things. I realized society, you can give rules externally, but you cannot change the heart. I remember years ago, when China was very strict under the communist rule, people were so law-abiding. You can leave stuff behind the hotel and they won't touch it. But the moment they lifted all of those hard and harsh rules, things can change because only God can change the heart. Think about what I'm saying. How can this world be a better place if we want to take Christ out of Christmas? Our problem is this, everybody. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. You see, our problem is sin. The consequence of sin is death. That's the biggest challenge. Everybody wants to live forever. Your biggest problem is death. How are you going to solve the problem? What the Bible tells us, everybody, please read this together. It is appointed unto man once to die once. After this comes judgment. People ask me, do you believe in reincarnation? I said no. Because of this verse. Appointed unto man to die once. After this, judgment. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a figure of speech. 5 minutes after you die, the moment you die, reality will hit you. That this world is not just the physical world. There's a spiritual world that is even more real than the physical world. We are surrounded by angelic beings. You don't even see. There is life after death. The question is this. Are you ready? This judgment. What is this judgment? Let's read this together. Revelation 20, verse 11. I saw a great white throne. Everybody read with me. I saw a great white throne. And him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, no place was found for them. On that judgment day, you cannot run away from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's no place to escape. I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. Books were opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things written in the books according to their deeds. This is the second death, the lake of fire. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Ladies and gentlemen, if I did not believe in the Bible, I will not waste my time, nor will I waste your time telling you what the Bible is saying. I tell my business friend, you can invest in the stock market, you can make money, you can lose money, it's only stock market. But I said, don't gamble your soul. What if you choose not to follow what the Bible is saying? You think you know everything. But the truth is, you have not solved the biggest issue of life. Where will you spend eternity? The problem of sin and death. Have you solved that problem? You see, people don't appreciate the good news until they appreciate the problem. If you tell me, I found a cure for cancer, you know why I'll be happy? Because I have loved ones who have cancer. But if I don't know anything about cancer, and you tell me you have a cure for cancer, I'll just look at you. What is that? Now, what do you mean by judgment? What do you mean by thrown into the lake of fire? How many of you have been burned? You burn your finger. How many of you? Look at me. I am number one. I was very stubborn. My mother taught me before, don't touch the oven. But when I look at the oven, it was not red. It was black. So I said, aha, I can touch the oven. I touched the oven. Bah! What happened to me? I got burned. Blister immediately. Now, can you imagine a place called the lake of fire? Either the Bible is lying and Jesus is mentally sick that he's trying to scare us, or he's telling you the truth. The choice is yours. To believe or not to believe. I have learned to humble myself. Because of the prophecies of the Bible and the historical accuracy of the Bible, I've chosen to believe the Bible over the opinions of men, over the philosophers of the world, over people. I chose to believe Jesus and not men. Examples. Let's read this together. The cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, immoral persons, sorcerers, idolaters, and what? All. Louder, louder. Are we included? What's our problem? Their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You see, Jesus came to solve our biggest problem. Sin and death. What did Jesus do? Let's read this together. Christ died for sins once for all. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. People don't realize the penalty of sin is death. You need to pay for that sin. God being holy and righteous, how can he forgive us? It's called the principle of substitution. God is holy. God is righteous. You must pay for sin. He took your place. He took my place. So God can declare you forgiven by still being righteous because he paid for it. Let me share with you why Jesus became man. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9. We do see him, Jesus, who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus. Because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God, Jesus might taste death for every one of us. Jesus became man so that he can die for you and for me. He suffered death for you and for me. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14, that through death, he, Jesus, might render powerless him who had the power over death. That is the devil. You and I don't see the cosmic war ongoing today. Just see the evil that's going on around the world. People ask me, if God is real, why is there suffering? Why is there pain? The Bible is very clear. There is no apology. God made this world beautiful. But when we chose to rebel against God and follow the evil one, remember, God gave us a free will. God gave the angels a free will to follow him or not to follow him. God could have made them robots. He could have made you robots. But the very essence of love is to give you a choice. To follow Jesus or not to follow Jesus. Some of you are angry with God. You have wrong theology. You are blaming God for everything. Listen to me. You have to blame humanity. We chose to turn against God. But someday, I'm going to tell you the good news. Look at the good news. Everybody read this. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. You don't come into judgment, but you have passed from death to life. Jesus solved our greatest problem. You know why? He is the greatest Savior, the only Savior. Notice what he's saying. I say to you, he who hears my word. When the Bible talks about hearing the word of God, look at me. It is not like our children. Okay? Our children listen to us in Tagalog. Pasok isang tenga, labas isang tenga. In English, enter one ear, out the other ear. Comprende? No, no, no. When the Bible talks about he who hears my word, you take it to heart and you obey. The evidence of hearing is obedience. Let's read this together. I say to you, he who hears my word believes him who sent me. What do you have? Eternal life. You will not come into what? Judgment. But you have passed from death to life. Now, I don't know about you. This is good news. I've asked a friend of ours. His name is John Ong, to share with us what God has done for him when he met the Christ of Christmas. Let's welcome John.
I don't know where I got it, but when I was young, my definition of success was being rich and famous. I was studying in the best Chinese school, but when I was in grade 6, I chose to hang out with high school seniors from other schools because they were more fun. Through them, I was exposed to liquor, cigarettes, drugs, and women. While the gimmicks of my classmates were still watching movies with their yayas and drivers, I was to be found in underground punk parties, slam dancing, and going home wasted. By grade 7, I was smoking 2 packs of cigarettes per day and was dependent on drugs to make me sleep. Before I graduated from elementary, I've already had 7 girlfriends, and by the age of 13, I was caught by my dad in bed with a girl. This was just the start. Sometimes out of boredom, I would do crazy things like beat up people or destroy public payphones, toilets, signal lights. I'd sneak in movie houses through fire exits or just steal stuff for the heck of it. I even got sued for wrecking a car with my baseball bat after a vehicular accident. My high school days was so colorful, I got kicked out every year. First year, due to excessive cutting of classes and refusal to cut my hair. In sophomore, because I got into too many fights and even running over our principal while escaping one of our gang wars. The third year, I was kicked out because of selling drugs. I got caught because I was selling Dormicum, a drug for acute seizures, to one of my innocent classmates who was complaining of headache. For my last year, I had no choice but to go to a public school because no other school would accept me. This was when I discovered how messed up I was and promised to get myself into a decent college school. So in college, I became active in the student council where I got recruited to the Communist Party of the Philippines. There, they taught me to embrace the principle of materialism, to cease to believe, and so God does not exist. One time, I got into a debate with a friend who thinks my communist belief was too idealistic. So I told her, the reason why communism doesn't work is because of selfish people like you. So I was so mad, I was able to compose a song in 10 minutes. The song became a hit and sold triple platinum and propelled my rock band to fame. We toured around the Philippines and continued my rock and roll lifestyle of sex, drugs, and alcohol. I had so many women that my house got named by my friends as Ong In. Because you can just bring any girl, any night, pick your spot, and do whatever you want. So in 1996, together with friends in college, we put up an events corporation which is currently one of the top in the Philippines. It was doing so well business-wise that I lost focus in school. So one time, my parents said, you're wasting our money by failing your grades. And I proudly said, don't worry. From now on, I will be the one to send myself to school. And I did. I was so successful even without God. Successful, yes, but also lost, unhappy, and empty. In 2002, I had a live-in partner, Monique, who caught me cheating on her with my employee. I promised to do my best not to do it again, and to show my sincerity, I sold my events company and shifted to another career, wedding photography. As a wedding photographer, I again was successful. From 11 weddings on my first year, I shot 79 on the next and 105 weddings on the third year. On my first year, I was even voted top 5 wedding suppliers for 2 consecutive years by the biggest community of soon-to-be weds. In the meantime, Monique started going to CCF. With that, I told myself, poor Monique, because of me, she joined a cult. When I started to see her write 4 or 5 digit checks for her tights, I shook my head and said, this is really a cult for sure. One night, she brought me to a friend's birthday party, and during that party, they prayed for the food. Because of that, I got mad and thought they tricked me into attending one of their Bible studies, and I locked myself inside the bathroom. A few months later, a Christian doctor told me that she was praying for me to accept Christ and that most of her prayers have been answered. But I told her, better take that request off your prayer list if you don't want God to disappoint you. One day, Monique asked me to meet with her. She asked me what I was doing last May 1. So I looked at my calendar and seeing it empty, I answered, I don't know. She replied, do you want me to tell you? And hands me my old cell phone and plays a video. It was a scandal video of me with another girl. I was again caught cheating. After this, I felt so humiliated and I told her, leave me. I'm sick. I've honestly done my best, but I still failed. I don't think I will ever change. But before she left, she said something that struck me. She said, I will only come back to you when I see Jesus in your heart. And to myself, I thought, Jesus in my heart? What does that mean? And so I began my search to understand what it meant. I agreed to go to CCF with her every Sunday, but would only be awake for 10 or 15 minutes. I would ask her to pinch me whenever I would fall asleep. Sometimes it works, but often it doesn't. After months of attending, God used those 10 to 15 minutes each Sunday to still speak to me. Eventually, I found myself seeking for more and more of Jesus. That same year, my Buddhist grandfather, who was more like my dad, was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Doctor gave him 2 months to live. Because of this, I wanted to know the truth so that I could be assured of where he was going. I attended Bible studies almost every day, taking Biblical Foundations 1, 2, Holy Spirit, hermeneutics, etc. It was like spiritual buffet on panic mode. Eventually, through the prayers of my D group, my grandfather became receptive to Jesus Christ. He was excited to see me every day because he knew that it was time for prayer. One time he was sleeping, and when he woke up, the first thing he looked for was the CCF Chronicle. He wanted to pray the sinner's prayer. The day my grandfather died, I was holding his hand, and he asked me, will you be okay, John? So I told him, Angkong, you can let go now. Just keep focusing on Jesus. And with that, he breathed his last. Shortly after my grandfather died, I came to a point where I dedicated my whole life to the Lord and made him Lord and Savior. I decided to just give him everything. My success, my failures, my possessions, my career, even my loved ones. And it is true that once you've experienced who God is, you will never go back. My advice is, don't stop seeking God or growing in intimacy with Him. The joy I found in having a personal relationship with Jesus has been greater than all the happiness I've experienced from worldly pursuits and successes. 2 years ago, I married Monique. We had children before we knew the Lord. But that is the beauty of God's grace. When I came to Jesus, He repaired my past mistakes and gave me a new beginning. Monique and I are still serving the Lord through D groups, the Exalt and Deliverance Ministry, and we are also a homeschooling family. Admittedly, There are times when I am tempted to compromise in my business and personal life, but by God's grace, He has kept me faithful to my wife, and I continue to conduct business in accordance with what is pleasing to God, no matter what the cost. In fact, I decided to use my businesses as a means of bringing more people to Jesus. We started 2 training programs for photographers, where training in photography runs parallel to a PDL and GLC level 1. This apprenticeship program is now on its 8th batch, and the purpose-driven photographer is now on its 12th, excluding 2 batches that we did for Laguna and another 2 batches that we did for Singapore. For those who finish this, we invite them to come to our regular Bible studies every Mondays here at CCF, where currently 80 people attend regularly. For soon-to-be weds, we've also organized the Before I Do workshop twice a year for the past 4 years, where they learn God's design for marriage. As a final note, if you have people who you've been trying to bring to Jesus, but they resist you, don't give up. Just like in my case, sometimes it takes a little bit more time. I'm thankful that my wife never gave up on me, even when I've given up on myself. Nothing is impossible with God. Who would ever thought that this party boy, who once locked himself up in the bathroom because of a prayer over a meal, would ever become a committed follower of Jesus leading a D group? I would like to leave you with a verse and a warning from 1 John 2, verse 15 to 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. My name is John Mateus Ong, a businessman, a photographer, a musician, a teacher, a father to 4, soon 5, a husband to 1, but above all else, a Christian whose greatest privilege is to serve my Master, Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be all the glory.
Praise God. Praise God, John. The greatest news about the greatest person who can solve the greatest problem to guarantee us the greatest future. If God can transform the life of John, can He transform your life? You see, Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with the living Savior. And there has to be evidence. The evidence is transformation. If there's no transformation in your life, my concern is you have religion perhaps, but not a relationship with Jesus. He guarantees us the greatest future. This is amazing. The Bible tells us, everybody, let's read this together. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Our Savior will not leave us behind. He began a good work in you. He's going to come again to make sure that your future is fully secure. Some of you are troubled. He says, let not your heart be troubled. I do not know what's bothering you this Christmas. I know some of you, you have problems. But can I tell you something? You cannot change your past. Yes, you cannot. You move forward. This is what Jesus tells us. Someday, that's going to happen. Everybody read this. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth pass away. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. He will dwell among them. They shall be His people. And God Himself will be among them. Heaven is the place where we will be with Jesus. If you don't like Jesus, why will you like heaven? The Bible tells us He will dwell with us. The Bible tells us also, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning, crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. He who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And He said, write, these words are faithful and through. Some of you have regrets. You have tears. You mourn. How you wish you did not make this decision. We do make stupid choices at times. But the beauty with Jesus, the greatest Savior, to solve the greatest problem, to give you the greatest future, He promises a fantastic future. Let me repeat, you cannot change your past. Stop regretting about the past. You can alter your future. I want you to do something today that will forever alter the course of your future. What John shared with us. The joy that he's experiencing, according to him, is more than all of the foolishness you combine. But people who don't know Jesus do not know what you and I are talking about. Until you experience Christ, you will not know what this is all about. Look at the future. The last chapter of the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. Let's read this together. There will no longer be any night. They will not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun. Because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. Who is this day? Us, God's people, destined to be prince and princess, to reign with Jesus. But not everybody will reign with Jesus. Only those who have understood the message. It's all by grace. Do you know what the shepherds did? By grace, they understood. What did they do? First of all, do you believe we have an amazing future? Yes or no? Louder. But you see, you can say yes in the head, but you don't feel it because you're not sure. I want to tell you what you need to do. You need to be like John. John said, I give up. Leave me. Something's wrong with me. Until you acknowledge you need a Savior, why will you go to Jesus? You got to humble yourself and say, Lord, only you can change me. And then the Bible tells us, learn from the shepherds. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem and see the thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They came in a hurry, found their way to Mary, Joseph, and the baby as he lay in a manger. Faith involves action. They took action, not just head. They did something. They went. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. Faith will make you confess. You will declare the joy in your heart. There is no such thing as a secret Christian. You are embarrassed to talk about Jesus. Why should you be embarrassed to talk about Jesus? Well, unless you really don't fully understand. I want you to grow in your Christian faith. Let us not be ashamed. Let us not keep the good news to ourselves. You got to live out the good news. Let people see the joy in our hearts. Can you turn to your neighbor? Tell them, be joyful. Yeah. We have reasons to be joyful. Your eternal destiny is secure. So tell others about Jesus. But Mary treasured all of these things in her heart, pondering them, meditating on them. The shepherds went back, glorifying, praising God for all they had heard and seen. Ladies and gentlemen, that's my prayer for you this Christmas. You will celebrate it with joy. First of all, give Jesus the best gift, your heart. Tell Jesus, because of all that you have done for me, I will receive your gift, and I give you a gift. God owns everything. What can you give Him? Your love. When I think of all that God has done for me, when I think of all the sacrifice that Jesus went through to suffer on the cross, that I might be forgiven, I tell myself, what else can I do? I have forgiveness. I have eternal life. I will live for Jesus. As John said, he gave his life. I gave my life to Jesus. And my life was never the same. And I have no regret. If I have another life to live, I'll do the same. If I have 1 million lives to give, I'll give all of them to Jesus, the lover of my soul, the Savior. What about you? Have you experienced Jesus? Live out the joy. Tell others about Jesus this Christmas. Let's pray. Perhaps some of you have never, really, you have not understood Christmas. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I am not sure of my eternity. I am not sure where I will go after I die. But Lord, today I have heard the good news. You died that we might have life. Today, I humble myself, Jesus. I want to invite you as my Lord and my Savior. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior. Be my Master. Change me from the inside out and help me live my life out of joy, out of gratitude. Help others to see your joy in my life. Help me to honor your name, to glorify your name by my life and by my action, by my words. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. Merry Christmas to all of you.